The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Sheftim. In the Vorim, Parsha Sheftim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes. Ki ato ba'a la'oretz asher Hashem alakecha nesein locha. You are coming, Moshe tells the people, you are coming to the land which Hashem has given to you, Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael was occupied by the seven nations of Canaan. You shall not learn from them the abominations. And the Torah starts to list off the abominations which it's referring to, that you shouldn't pass your children through fires, which was their avoda, which was called avodas molech, or kesim kisomim. Kesim kisomim, Rashi says, that's someone who holds on to his stick, and he says, and he can, his stick will be able to tell him if he should go today or he shouldn't go today. Me'einin, Rashi tells us, he brings from the Gemara, Elu neisnin einish, she'emrim eine plenis yofel lahaschil. They give specific times. This time is a good time to start something. This time is not a good time to start something. Menachesh, that's people who darshan, who expound signs. For example, if he's eating and he drops his food, or if he's walking along and a deer runs across his path, or he's walking along and he drops his stick. So they say this is a sign that he should do something, or it's a sign he should not do something. Mechashef. Mechashef is sorcery. Cheve chover. These were people that were able to bring serpents or scorpions together in one place, and they can expound certain meanings from that. Sheol Eiv B'yadayni. This is a type of sorcery which was called Eiv. He could communicate with the dead, other such things. Vidoni, this is a person, they had a bone which they would put into their mouth, and through sorcery the bone would speak. Deidi Shalamesim, communicating with the dead. Kol say avas Hashem kol ki so avas Hashem kol eise ila. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, it is tov to him, it is an abomination to him, all who do these things. Ubiglala te'evasa eila Hashem alakecha meirish asam yipanecho. And it's because of these abominations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drives these people out. Tomim tiyem Hashem alakecho. But rather then try to learn things from signs, or learn things from futures, or learn things from the stars. Tomim tiyem Hashem alakecho. You shall be complete with Hashem. Place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Yisalach imay b'tmimos v'tetzapeh b'lev. Walk with him with your entire trust and look to him. V'leisach korach harasidus. Don't worry about the futures. Elokol mash yovay elecho kabel b'tmimos. Whatever comes your way, accept it with a full heart. Vos tia amay ulechelke. And then you will be his nation, or then you will be with him and you will be his portion. Then the Torah continues, Ki hagoyim eila atoyeri sheisom el ma'eninim velkeis mimishmo'u. Because all of these nations which I am chasing out before you, from before you, they look towards sorceries, towards charms, towards fortune telling, So with stargazing, astrologies, palm readings, communicating with the dead and so forth and so on. That's where they place their trust. And this is why I'm driving them out. But this is not what I have given to you. You will have a prophet that I shall place in your midst, and you shall listen to him. So Rashi explains, you will have a prophet like myself, like Mesha, and he will be your leader. And this you will listen to him. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place his Shekhinah, his presence on the prophet, and on the Urim Betumim. The Urim Betumim is what the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore in the Beis HaMikdash. And there we took instruction. This parsha, this chapter is known as Darkei Emeri. These are referred to the ways of the Amorim. This is a general name for these nations that live there. And it includes all types of superstitions and sorceries and so forth. And we are commanded not to engage in these things, but rather tomim tiyayim Hashem lekecho, that we shall go with complete trust to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban, and this pasuk tomim tiyah, writes, Shiniyach elovareinu elov levadi. We shall put our heart to Hashem alone. Benamin and believe shehu levadi isekol. Then he himself does everything. Uhu ayadeya amit is kol osi. He alone knows what the future brings. Umimenu levadi nidresh asidus. And we shall come to him when we want to know what the future brings, Meneviyov or Meanshe Chasidov, from his prophets or from his great wise men, his righteous men. What does it mean, Anshe Chasidov? Urim Betumim, to the Kohen Gadol, to the high priest who had the breastplate. Vele Nidraish Mehavre Shomayim Vele Mizulosum. And we shall not go seek out futures and fortunes from those that gaze at the heavens or from anyone else like them. And we shouldn't think that what they predict will come. That if a fortune teller tells you that this is what they read in the stars, or a palm reader, an astrologer tells you that this is what's going to happen to you, don't believe them. If you hear something from them, you say that it's in the hands of heaven. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, it shall be. If he does not decree, it shall not be. Ki hu elokei elokim elyoin al hakol, because he is the God of all gods. He is over everything. Hakol yochol. Bechol mishana maroiches vekechovim mazoles kitzeinai. He changes the paths of the stars and the mazoles and the signs as he wishes. Therefore, we are commanded to be tomim im Hashem bechol elo. And do not fear those who predict futures. Listen to his prophets. This is what the Ramban writes on this commandment. And he holds this as a mitzvah asay, one of the positive commandments of the Torah. Now there's much to say on this parsha. We've spoken about this in the past, but unfortunately, we have to speak about it again because, unfortunately, it's irrelevant. To the Lithuanian Jew of the past, this was totally irrelevant. He knew Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecho, that you have to put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the rest is meaningless. And there were not even questions or anything else asked on it. See? So it was totally irrelevant. But unfortunately, in our day today, as we will see, it's becoming very, very relevant, and therefore we must speak on it again. Now, the first thing to ask, all of these classes of these ancient people, so-called ancient people, was there some truth in it? Did they actually possess a power? Or was it total deceit and fraud and lies. Rambam in Hilchos Deos, excuse me, in Hilchos Avedis Kechovim, at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, writes after he goes into particulars. We didn't go into the particulars, we just went into the generalities, but he goes into the particulars of all of these practices. He writes, "V'dvarim ha'ela kulin divrei sheker v'kol zepein." You should know that all of these practices, fortune tellers and charms and so forth, he says it's all fraud and deceit. "V'heim shi'itov behen evdi kachovim ha'kadmoinin l'goya ha'rotzeis k'dei shi'inogu achreihan." And what's its source? The ancient idolaters. Ancient idolaters needed followers. They needed to create congregations. So they would claim that they had powers, and they deceived the people. "V'ein roi l'Yisrael sheim chachomim mechukomim le'moshech bahavelim elu v'leil ha'aleis ha'leiv sheyesh te'eles behen." And it's not befitting for a Jew, because a Jew stands for wisdom. Because the Torah is the greatest wisdom of all wisdoms. "Ki hi chochmaskem ubinaskem bein hagoyim." This is your wisdom amongst all of the nations. It's not befitting for a Jew who stands for wisdom to be drawn into such nonsense and to think that actually there's some power in it. As it states, "Leinachish bi Yaakov velekesem bi Yisrael." By Yaakov in Israel there's no such superstitions. And it states that the goyim ha'ela, those nations that I have driven out before you, they are the ones who are drawn into this and enticed by this. He says, people who actually believe in this and think that it has a power, he says, these are from the mechusrei seichel, from the idiots, those that lack das. Accordingly, there's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that the Gemara says that if a person is bit by a snake or a scorpion and he's in danger of his life because of the poison, and there's someone around who knows magic and claims he can cure him, so the Gemara says you're allowed to do it. What would be the reason? So the Rambam learns, and this he brings in Halacha Yud Aleph, not that it's going to help, because it won't help, but you're allowed to do it liyashiv daito elachazik liboy, since it's a matter of danger and the sick person, it's important that he shouldn't become panicky. So if he feels this will help, she's allowed to do it in order to cool him down, but that's going to help. And since it's in a place of danger, you would be permitted. So this is how the Rambam learns that Gemara. However, there is another opinion. In the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef brings the Rambam Shita, and he also holds like him in Yoredea Simen Kufayin Tes Sivov. But there, the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, in his Pirish, Osh Yud Gimel, brings that there were many later opinions that disagreed with Rambam. not Cholila if you were allowed to practice it, because the Torah explicitly forbids the practice, but whether there is some substance in the practice or not. And there were many that held, and the Gaon also agrees to the second opinion, that it is a power. There were people who were boki, expert in such practices, and there were practices that could cause effects, and these were the practices of sorcery and black magic. and charms and so forth. And he brings many, many proofs from the Gemaras on it. And we'll just cite two. One he brings from a Gemara in Masechta Chulin, Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Lama Nikra Shmon Kshofim. Why is witchcraft and sorcery called Kshofim? Shemachishin Pamalyus Shel Malo. Kshofim is from the word Machish. See? Machish means to contradict. Because it contradicts the order of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Why is sorcery called Kishuf Mechashvim? Because it is contradicts the order of the world which Hashem created. No, if it was just a fraud, it's not contradicting anything. Another proof he brings in Parshas Va'ero, when Moshe came to Paray, and Paray said, Who is this God that you are representing? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when he asked you that, throw down your staff. So Vayashlech Arein es Mateo livnei Parav livnei Avodo Vayilusanin. He threw down his staff and it became a serpent. Alright, so this was done through Hashem. So this is no kasha. But then, immediately after it states, this is in Shmai Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, that Parai called to his Chachomim Bilam Chashvim, he called to his wise men and his sorcerers, Vayasu gamhem chatume Mitzrayim elateim kein. And they also did this. Vayashlichu ish mateo v'yulis aninim. And they threw down their staffs and it became also serpents. Now, Moshe's staff became a serpent because this is what Hashem decreed. But why did the staffs of the Egyptians, of their sorcerers become serpents? Hashem certainly didn't decree that. So we see that they had the power of sorcery. And Egypt was known for this. Egypt was a famous land, and many places it tells us that they had the powers of sorcery. The fact is, it states one of the great miracles that a whole nation of 600,000 people were able to walk out of Egypt because it was a locked land, that they never allowed even one slave out of Egypt because they were afraid that they would come and take their secrets of sorcery and tell other peoples about them. So therefore, there is a second opinion that to those who are expert in it, it is a power. Many different types of powers. It's a magic, it's a sorcery. Not necessarily a fraud or a deceit. It can be, but doesn't have to be. Except, nevertheless, the Torah forbade it. And we are not allowed to engage in it. Why did the Torah forbid it? So on that, the rabbis tell us, because it is contrary to the order of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created a world with a certain order. And all powers come from a source of Kedusha, from a source of sanctity, of purity. And these powers, they come from the word that's used is, they come from the Ahure Habriya, the Sitra Achra, they come from the backside of the creation. It is a source of power that comes from origins of Tuma, of impurities. Now, let us define, when is something considered wisdom? We know that we're allowed to engage in the pursuit of wisdom, Chochmah. When is something considered Torah? We know that the greatest mitzvah is to study Torah. And when is something considered Darkei Amayri, these practices, these forbidden practices? And especially according to the second opinion that holds that these practices are genuine practices. The simple explanation is as follows. To study and to understand the makeup of the physical world, the makeup of the natural world, of man and everything that's relative and relevant to it, this is known as chokhmah, as wisdom. In English, we would call this science. We would call this physical and natural sciences. And this includes many things. This would include mathematics, astronomy. It would include medicine. It would include psychology, because that's the study of the reactions of the emotions. It would include psychiatry or neurology, because that's the study of the physical brain. It would include economics, the wisdom of economics, because economics is something which has to do with the physical world, trade in the physical world. It would include, as far as from our perspective that we are dealing with, it would include the study of languages, because languages is a physical action here in the physical world. In other words, any study to understand the makeup and the secrets of the physical world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and physical man. And when we say physical, I mean, this means also the emotional man, or the mental man, or the nervous system. This is what would be classified as a physical and natural science, and this is what would be classified as chokhmah, as wisdom. And on that's a pursuit which is a very legitimate pursuit. And on that, the Gemara says, "Imesh chokhmah b'goyim tamim," that there is great wisdom by the nations. They are expert in this, and we constantly rely on it. The Torah relies on it. For example, if someone is sick, and it's a question whether he can eat on Yom Kippur or not, so it's a question in halacha, in law, in Torah law, but the Torah law is based on a physical factor. Is he well enough to eat or not well enough to eat? And that halacha is Sheila Reifi. We have to go to a doctor and ask him. It's based on physical wisdom, so we have to go to someone who's expert in this wisdom to tell us if he's well enough to eat or not, and then from there we can judge the halacha. But incidentally, this is a wisdom. The Torah classifies this as a wisdom. What is meant by a wisdom? A wisdom means lilmaid lahovin, understanding. And in English we would say it's a logic. Okay? Wisdom means a pursuit to understand. To study something without a pursuit to understand is not wisdom. Then there's a second area. The second area is what is known as bilti gashmi, something which is not a study of the physical or natural world, but it's a study beyond that. And this is divided into two areas. One area, for example, would be to decide what is right and wrong. To decide what is right and wrong is not a study of the physical or natural world. To decide what should be permitted and what should be forbidden. To decide what should be tomei v'tohor, what should be pure and what should be impure. What should be kodesh and what should be chol, what should be sanctified and not sanctified. What should be chayiv, what should be poter. Justice. Legal justice. This is not a study of the physical world. This is something which is bilti gashmi. This is above the physical world. This is the category of Torah. Torah looks down into this world from another world. And from another world, it tells us what is right, what is to be deemed right, what is to be deemed wrong, what is to be deemed sanctified, what is to be deemed not sanctified, what is to be deemed forbidden, permitted. When should a person is guilty, when is he not guilty? What is social justice, what is legal justice, and so forth. That's the area of Torah. That's why Torah comes from another world and is known as the order of both worlds. Physical wisdom will teach you how to live in this world, perhaps, but detached from another world. Torah will give you direction in all of the worlds. And then there's another area in this bilti gashmi, in an area which is detached from the physical world. And that's not the natural, but beyond the natural, supernatural. For example, prophecy. a prophet comes and he tells us something. This is a power, not a natural power. This is beyond the nature. This is a supernatural. Or, for example, blessing, brocha and klolo. What evokes blessing? What evokes curse? What evokes schar, reward? What evokes punishment? So this is an area of a supernatural. Now, in this area, the Torah executes her powers. It gives forth prophecies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given powers of prophecy to his Nevi'im. It can give forth brocha and klola, blessing and curse. And also in this area operates these other practices, Darkei Meiri. They are a practice not of the natural wisdoms, not of the natural world, and not of the ethical wisdoms. They are a practice of the Bilti Gashmi, of the supernatural. So this means, if a person is pursuing a wisdom in the physical world, that's independent of Torah. Although there is much wisdom in the Torah, but this is another section. That was given over to the nations of the world. If a person is pursuing the supernatural, something above the natural world, there he's allowed, we are allowed, to practice this within the confines of Torah. But beyond the confines of Torah, then it is known as Darkei Ameiri. It is known as the ways of the Ameiri, and it becomes a forbidden practice in the Torah. If it's within the confines of Torah, it is coming from the source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in his creation for it to come from. Pramal Yisrael Malo, the way he created the world. He said, listen to my mitzvahs and it will bring brocha to the world. Do my mitzvahs and there will be rains in their proper times. Honor your father and mother and you will have long life on your land. Asu mishpot v'shimru mitzvesai, and so forth and so on. The other practices in this area comes from sources not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but from sources of tumah, from impurities. In the ancient literature, a lot was written, and they attributed these practices to the power of the devil. And they weren't far off, according to the second opinion. This is the power of the devil. In fact, some of these practices were called Maisa Shedim, the acts of devils. To evoke supernatural forces, not in accordance to the mitzvahs of the Torah. And these were the Darkei Ameiri. And we were commanded to stay away from it. Now, a person should understand that when it comes to these practices, firstly, the majority, huge majority of people who involve themselves in these practices across the board, whether it's charms or kameyas or palm reading or fortune telling or stargazing or looking at names, huge majority, if not all, are frauds. This is what's brought it all in the misfortune. They're fraudulent. Not only according to the Rambam, who holds that there's no powers in these things, they're in essence fraudulent, but even according to the others who hold that there were powers. But you have to know them. You have to know them. And if at one time they were known to the world, who knows them today? And if there might be one or two that knows them, but you have more than one or two people practicing them, So the first thing we must understand when we approach this is the huge majority, if not all, are deceits and fraudulent, because they're not expert at this at all. A second thing we must understand, that even if we would by any chance come across a genuine sorcerer, if we would find a real one, a real sorcerer, who actually has such powers, we must understand that the Torah forbade any involvement with him whatsoever, betokfa yisu, with isurim chaburim, with very great prohibitions. People sometimes say, but he can do wonders, he can do wonders. So what if he can do wonders? So what? Therefore what? You're obligated to bow down to him. Right? He does wonders. This is exactly what it says in the Torah. He does wonders. But I forbid you to have any association with anything that he has to that has to do with him or his practices. Not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbid the people, but it's a question of a Bizrael Aveda Zora. It's close to Aveda Zora, to idolatry. The Rambam brings these alochas in Hilchos Aveda Zora. And not only is it close to idolatry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's te'evo. He says they're abominations to me. And it's because of these abominations that I am allowing you to destroy the seven nations who live in Eretz Yisrael, because they practice these things. So I never understood. People will say, but we found a real sorcerer. First of all, he's a fraud. But let's say for some reason you find him. So we found a real sorcerer. He can tell the future. He can do miracles. So what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said these are abominations, and to stay away from them. Many of them carry a nechashev. The halacha is, if the person is a sorcerer, he's to be put to death. So that's the second thing a person must understand. And he's machish pamalio shel malo. He destroys the order of the universe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. A third thing that you must understand, that if you do come across a real one, don't have too much respect for him. We look at him like someone who's exceptionally great. You should know that the Chachomim teach us that it's not even to be called a Chochmah. This practice, these practices, are not even to be categorized as a Chochmah, as a wisdom. For example, the Gemara brings in Masechet Seiter, which we've quoted many times. It says that if a person learns Chumash and he learns Mishnah, but he doesn't learn the Gemara, so the Gemara wants to say this is an ignorant person, because without Gemara he won't understand what the Chumash and Mishnah says. So Gemara comes along and says that's not an ignorant person, that's worse, that's a Magushi. What's a Magushi? Rashi tells us a sorcerer. That's a sorcerer. Why? Man learns Chumash and he learns Mishnah. Just because he doesn't learn Gemara, why is he called a sorcerer? So the Gemara and Rashi says, because what's a sorcerer? A sorcerer is Misha Medaber, Be'eni Abdeya Mahu Medaber. A sorcerer is someone who talks and he doesn't understand what he's saying. That's the same thing by someone who learns Chumash and Mishnah but never learned Gemara. So he talks and he doesn't understand what he's saying. And the Maral explains. He says, because Chochmah, wisdom, is lehovin uledas, to understand. Be it Chochmah's HaTorah, be it Chochmah's Chol. Let it be the Chochmah's of Torah, or even the wisdom of the nations. The wisdoms of the nations is a science. To study, to understand. Sorcery, they don't understand why it's happening. Science does. Physical science is the quest to understand the effect of every cause. In the supernatural, sorcery, they know if I do this, it will evoke such a cause, but they don't understand why. This is why science and the supernatural are always at odds with each other. They are just contrary contrary practices. Science tries to understand every cause and effect. And the supernatural, the sorcerers, the superstitions, say that if a black cat crosses your path, so it's not good luck. Why? This we cannot explain. Not being able to explain, that's the contrary to wisdom. Because the whole quest of wisdom is to be able to explain. Lilmei lohovin aladas. So therefore, what is a magushi? What is a sorcerer? Someone who says, and he doesn't know though what he's saying. He just knows it evokes something, but he doesn't know. The Gemara says that's the same thing on a Jew that learns Mishnah and Chumash and never learns Gemara. He knows you have to do this, and he does it mechanically. And he knows it should evoke something good. Why? He doesn't understand. And the Maral explains it's just the opposite of Torah. Because Torah is not a practice. Torah is a chokhmah, it's a wisdom. Not only is it a wisdom, it's the greatest wisdom of all wisdoms. And it has to be lil mei lohavin. So if you would come across a bona fide sorcerer, and don't have too much derech eretz for him. It's not even a wisdom. The fact is, the Rambam writes, and the Maral and others, this is why superstitions and sorcery and darkei ameiri was always popular amongst the country folk, amongst the peasants. It was never popular amongst the wise. The fact is, the Gra writes that the great philosophers of the Rambam's time, and before him Aristotle, who were great chachomim, they were the ones who held to the shita that there is no power in it whatsoever. And he claims that the Rambam was influenced by their thought. Your law was fine that it's the wise that deny such practices. Where were these practices popular? So they write amongst the mechusrei seichel, the idiots, the ones that lack das. Who were the witches? Who were the superstitious ones? This is why it was always called bobamaisim. If you went out into the country amongst the peasants, they were the ones who were involved in it. So it's just the opposite of a wisdom. The Maral goes further. In Parshas Matis, the Gemara tells us, the Chazal tell us, that when all of the prophets prophesied, they said, Ko Amar Hashem. Moshe prophesied, he said, Ze Hadovar. Ko is a vague prophecy. All the prophets only had a vague prophecy. Aspakleria Delei Meira. Moshe, he had a prophecy that was crystal clear. And therefore he said, Ze Hadovar. There, you point to it. So they asked the question. But when it came to prophesy the Makas Becheris, the smiting of the firstborn, which was on midnight of Pesach, there Moshe said, Ke Amar, Ko, why? So the Maral explains it wasn't because of a lack of him. He said, what? All of the prophets were only given the power to prophesy changes in the universe. They would come and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. He's going to bring punishment, or he's going to do this. Something that Hashem would be Mechadish or Mashana. Moshe was the only one who prophesied things that would never change. What was his prophecy? The Torah and the 613 mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs never change. That's Tamidi. He says, what's greater? Children, they are always drawn to a great change. The fool is drawn to the great change. If there would be an eclipse, everybody would run out to see it. What's happening? A miracle. But the fact that every morning the sun rises and every morning the sun sets with a perfect order to the second, unchanging, that they don't notice. That takes the wise man, because that's wisdom. The change is much less than wisdom. You have that in the Haggadah. The Haggadah, when it comes to the four sons, and one is the Tam. And the Tam is the stupid son. He lacks seichel. So what's his question? Mazlis, what's this? So Maral brings, where is his question written in the Torah? It's written that if you have a firstborn from a donkey, So you must give, instead, you must give a sheep or a goat to the Kohen, and if not, you have to break the neck of the donkey. And there, the Tam, the stupid son, wakes up and he says, Mazesh, what's this? In Kol HaTorah and all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, he didn't ask anything. But there he wakes up and says, what's this? Why? Because it's a tremendous deviation that the Torah should say to break the neck of a donkey. When you're dealing with children, and when you're dealing with those who are mechuser seichel, they lack seichel, they lack wisdom, it's the shinui, it's the chidush. If there's a phenomena, they go after it. But wisdom at its best, they don't see. The wise, they don't seek the phenomena, they don't seek the exception. They don't seek the exception to the principle, they seek the principle. Doesn't bother them to, it's a greater miracle, they're more interested to know why the sun and the moon never change their pattern year after year after year than to know why once it changed its pattern. And that's why when Moshe predicted Torah and mitzvahs, he said, Zeh HaDovar. This was a prophecy with a clarity. But when he had to predict Makkos Becheiros, the smiting of the firstborn, that was a much lower prophecy. There was a prophecy that happened once in history. So he said, Kei Omar. This is what Hashem said. It was a much lesser prophecy. So therefore, something else we should know, which unfortunately is not known to this generation, and I think it's just a sign because we're dealing here with people with very, very little seichel. That when they, if they think someone is a real sorcerer, they're drawn to it. You should know it's not even classified by the Chazal as a wisdom. Therefore, we are not allowed in any way to use these practices, or even to use Torah to evoke such powers. For example, the Rambam brings in Perek Yud Aleph, he brings in Halacha Yud Beis, Aleichi Shalom Maka, V'keira Posek Min HaTorah. If someone has a wound and he wants to make it better, so he reads psukim from the Torah over the wound, or he reads psukim from the Torah by a child, that the child should fall asleep or should not become frightened, or he takes a Sefer Torah tefillin and he puts it in the child's bed, using the Sefer Torah, that tefillin as a school, as a charm that the child should sleep. Leidai lehem shein bechlam anachshim. The Rambam says, not only is this sorcery, bechevrim, ele shein bechlal hakefri b'teira. But also this is a kefir b'teira, this is someone who denies Torah. Why? Shein eisin divrei teira refuas haguf. Because they're making from Torah physical cures. If you think that by reading the Shema, that will cure the sickness, or by putting a Sefer Torah in a bed, or a tefillin in a bed of a child, that will make him get better, then you're using it as a charm, you're using it as a medicine. And Torah is not a physical medicine, ela refuas nefoshes. Torah is spiritual medicine, not physical medicine. Shnema v'yu chayim lenafshecho. Aval abeiri shekeire psuki memizma betilim kidei shetogin olav schus kriyosom. If we read Tehillim, because it's a mitzvah to read Tehillim, and we mispalo to Hashem that from fulfilling your mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a refuah, that's a different story. That's a mitzvah. What is the difference he's saying? If you believe that all forces come from Hashem, all brochas and all cures come from Hashem, and wealth comes from Hashem, and children come from Hashem, and rain comes from Hashem, then Elof Tishbun, we mispalo to Hashem. We do mitzvahs, We give tzedakah. Not that the giving of the tzedakah is going to bring rains. We give tzedakah, and we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the schus of fulfilling your mitzvah, bring us bracha. We say Tehillim, we learn Torah, and ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the schus of fulfilling your mitzvahs, bring reward, bring a refuah shlema. Then we're seeking to, we're looking to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But we have to do something, so we fulfill his mitzvahs. But if we think that the mitzvah directly will do it, for example, I take a Sefer Torah and put it in a bed of a tinok, of a child. I read psukim over a wound, and that itself will cure it, like the sorcerers do it. Not only is it sorcery, but this is also kefir in Torah. They deny Torah because they don't understand what Torah is. So we're not even allowed to do this even in Torah, and certainly outside of Torah. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Yeshayahu Nun Hei Vav. He says, Kei Omar Hashem Shimru Mishpot Ve'asit Stoker. I don't ask you to do these other things. I ask you, guard my statutes, do justice, and do tzedakah. This is what I ask of you. And then I will bring you the bracha you need. I didn't ask you to go there or to go here, or to do this strange thing, or to read this palm, or so forth. It's brought that even when we go, it's a mitzvah to go to the graves. Before Rosh Hashanah is brought, it's a mitzvah, an Elul, to go kever oves, we go visit the graves of our parents or grandparents. Kever tzaddikim, it's a great mitzvah, even a greater mitzvah to go to visit the graves of the tzaddikim, of the righteous. But there in Shulchan Aruch, and all of the Rishonim say, Cholilo, heaven forbid, to pray to the dead, to talk to the dead, or to pray to the dead. That's Derech Alameisim. That's involved in these practices of sorcery. So what must we do? We must pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we must speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the schus of these great people, for everything that they did for you, help us. Let their schus help us. We had a father like Avraham, we had a father like Yitzchok, we had a father like Yaakov, we had great rabbonim in the community. All that they did for you, let their schuyis help for the children also. But we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to them. There's a mitzvah, it's brought, Yilech al HaChochem, it's a great mitzvah to go to the Chachomim, to go to the wise. For what purpose? For many reasons. Firstly, it's brought as a great mitzvah to go to the wise, to the sages, Lilmei Behem, to learn from them. That's the greatest mitzvah. Lizdabeik Be'afar Aglehem, to sit in the dust of their feet. As it states in Ovis, states in Ovis that be Mizavik Be'afar Aglehem, sit in the dust of the feet of the wise, Asei Lecho Beis Vad Lechachomim, bring the Chachomim into your house or go to them. That we Shaseh Divrei Betzomei, drink their words with thirst. That's the greatest mitzvah, to go to the Chachomim. Then it's brought that we should go to the Chachomim to learn from their ways, to watch them. Shimusha Gdeila Milimuda. Even greater than learning from the Chachomim is to watch them and to serve them, because there we will see them alive. Then it's brought that you should be Mizdabek El Chachomim. You should bind yourself to them in every way possible. Try to marry into their families. Give them, try to invest their money for them, and there, what is the reason? So we can have a shutfis, we can have a partnership in their great work. We want part of their schuyas. So if we can become a partner with them, this is to our benefit. Then it's brought that if a person is a bitzora, if he's bitzora, im yesh odem chayle bebeisai, if he has someone sick in his family, yelech el ha-chochem, vivakish rachamim. Go to the chochem, go to a great Talmud chochem, and he should be mevakish rachamim. You ask him to be mispalel. You ask him for a brocho. There again, cholilo, one should think that the chochem has the power to give cures. Heaven forbid. has brought you, ask him to be mispalel, that he should be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's merapei chayilim. He gives the cures. Except it's good to have a chochem speaking on your behalf. If you have a great Talmud chochem as a righteous person, and he's mispalel, that could be better than your tefillah. But chalilu, to think that the chochem is merapei, that he gives the cures. It's brought that a bracha from a chochem is very great. To receive a bracha. But that's because he's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like the Kahanim. We see in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Kahanim powers to be Mevorech HaSa'am, to bless the nation. Why? Because he says, I have separated the Kahanim and they are close to me. They are closer to me than the others. I have separated them from myself. They are my nachlo. And therefore, they can give a broch a little better than someone else. So if you have someone who's a righteous servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a very, very great chochem, a great Talmud chochem, and he has great schuyas. So his broch is a good broch. But chalila, a person should think that this is all he has to do. Or, chalila, a person should think, actually, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that if there's someone sick and you want someone to be mispalel or a brocha, you should go to a chocham. It's brought that you should choose someone who has a yeshiva. Why? Because he has the schus of the Talmidim. He's learning with Talmidim. He has schus of Arbotzes Torah. That's a great schus. So if you can get part of that schus, it'll help. Or just like when people are esora, they would come and give money to a yeshiva. Because then they have a portion in their learning of Torah. And now they can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a stronger foundation. But heaven forbid to think that the person, the great chachomim, or the great individuals, they're going to do miracles. They have powers, they're going to do miracles. Even by the Melech HaMashiach, even when the Melech HaMashiach comes, and who can be greater than him? Rambam writes that he'll be wiser than Shlema HaMelech, than King Solomon. And he'll be a prophet almost as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. Almost as great. He cannot be as great because Moshe was the greatest prophet that we ever have. But he'll be almost as great. Even the Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam writes, is not going to come and do all kind of wonders and miracles. In Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel, Rambam writes, Al yale al daitcho shemelech Mashiach tzorach lasis eisis morsim. Don't think that the Melech HaMashiach is going to be proven to be the Melech HaMashiach because he's going to come as a sorcerer, cholila. He's going to do miracles and all kind of wonders and phenomena. Or mecharish dvorim ba'elam. He's going to make things in a world that never was. Or mechayi meisim, he's going to make the dead live. And so forth. Eina dover kach. He says, no. And he brings proof to it. One of the proofs he brings is Rabbi Kiva, who was the greatest chochem. And Klal Yisrael held that Bar Kuziva, Bar Kochva was the Melech HaMashiach. And then later on they saw that he wasn't. And they never asked Bar Kochva. They never asked him to do any wonders. So then he goes in, so how will we know? If the person is so great in wisdom and so great in righteousness, and he claims that he was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the prophet of Hashem, but firstly he must be so great in wisdom of Torah and so great in righteousness, and he was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to lead the people back to Eretz Yisrael and to fight their wars for them, then we follow. If he succeeds, then he goes to build the Beis HaMikdash. If he succeeds, then it's Yodua, then we know he's the Melech HaMashiach. But he's not going to come with some hocus pocus of making wonders. This is not the Derech HaTorah. The Torah is not it. This is not even a wisdom. This was left for the peasants. And also a person should know that involvement in these things and believing in these things, as we mentioned, is kfira. It's very close to kfira. Like the Rambam brings. We find that Amalek was involved in this. It's brought in Parshas B'Shalach, where Hashem told Yeshua, Bochar lonu, bechar lonu anoshim. Choose for yourself mighty men. When you go to war against Amalek, Rashi says, why? Shemachashvim, because they're sorcerers. And we need mighty men to stand up against them. Why were they sorcerers? We find Haman also was from Amalek. He placed all of his trust in luck. He threw the gorel. He cast lots to decide when will be the best month when he could kill off Chas v'Shalom Klal Yisrael, and when it came to Adar, he was very happy because he had signs that was the time. Amalek were the foundation of kfira, of denial in Hashem. It states by Amalek that they destroy Hashem's name and they destroy His throne. And Kisi Shalom and Shmishal, they were the Layore Elkim. They're the foundation of kfira, and that's why it's hand in hand. He who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is forced to trust in all of these other things. He who trusts in these things therefore denies in Hashem. It's contrary to Tomim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, that you should walk with me with complete trust. So this is what a person must realize, even if he'll find a bona fide sorcerer today. And this foreign brought, actually I once heard this in the name of Rabbi Glazerson, but later on I saw this foreign bring it. I bring it that Avraham understood this. And this is why Avraham, it states in Chayisora, in Parshas Chayisora, Chofei Vov, that Avraham gave matonis, he gave gifts to Bnei Pilakshim, to the sons of his concubines, and he sent them off Kedem to the east. He wanted to separate them from Yitzchok, and Yitzchok he gave the brochais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chazal asked, Rashi brings from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Chazal asked, what were these gifts? Shame Tumah. He gave him the powers of Tumah. So evidently Avraham, who was a great individual, he knew sorcery also. So these powers he gave to the concubines, to the children of the concubines, and sent them away. He didn't want them near Yitzchok. Yitzchok he gave the brochis. Shame, Tuma, these were the powers of the devil. They came from the devil. The brochis came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what he wanted for Yitzchok and for Israel. Therefore, therefore, in the last generations, especially by the Bnei Litta, what we're saying here tonight is so simple. Would be so simple they won't understand what we're talking about. I have never seen in the Shailas and Shuvas and the many questions and answers which are printed, the responses which are printed by the thousands, in any of the recent Sforim that came out of Litta in the last 100 years, I can never recall seeing one question on this subject that someone should ask, is this considered sorcery and are we allowed to do it? There must be, but I can't remember even seeing one. This was so simple to them. And this was the ways of all of the Litvishi Gedolim and the Litvishi Yeshivas. I was in Telz for 9 years. And I never once heard about these things or other such practices. We all know the morale who had tremendous wisdom, created a golem. I never once heard a discussion on his golem. And it's also brought that the Gaon, who was so wise, it's brought from him that he had a certain geiro. He had a certain way of casting a lot if he wanted to know something. This is what's said. I never once heard it. 9 years in Tells, I could never once heard anything about it, any of these things. Because it was much more important to them the wisdom of the Gaon than his Geilum, and the wisdom of the Maral than his Geilum. Right? The Geilum was the legend that the folk people spoke about, whether it was true or not true. Probably it was true, but I could guarantee you the Maral was much more proud of this forum of the Torah that he wrote than the golem he created. Here he creates a golem which has no seichel whatsoever, and on the other hand he wrote literally thousands and thousands of chapters of the deepest wisdom possible. In all of his forum, he never mentions once about his creation of the golem. And the same thing with the Gro, with the Gaon. Today you get people, they want to know about the Maral's Geilum. And they want to know about the Gaon's Geilum. There's a lot. And the answer is simple. Because unfortunately in this door we seem to be dealing with infants or idiots. They're peasants when it comes to wisdom. They're the mazos. They're the tam. The son that does not have intellect where he can understand, so he could see all of the writings of the Gaon, but he doesn't understand them. He could see all the writings of the Maral and doesn't understand them. But when he hears about a golem, or he hears about a gadol or a lot, oh, what is that? I just saw recently in the Michtevei Chofetz Chaim. Could you bring me, please, the one that says Michtevei Chofetz Chaim? Thank you. In a sefer called Michtevei Chofetz Chaim, which was put out by Reb Leib, the son of the Chofetz Chaim. And this is, he writes over an article which was written by the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim on the 30th day, the Shleishim of his Ptira, after he died. He writes, Askofa Sichlius Behiro Bela. Now, who had wisdom like the Chofetz Chaim? He wrote on the entire Torah. And he says, his Askofa was Sichlius Behiro. Everything he approached with an intelligence. Everything he approached with a simplicity and an intelligence. Bele mysteries. He says he wasn't interested in mysteries. He wasn't interested in secrets. In mumble jumble, he wasn't interested in. And he wasn't interested in amunas tefilas. He wasn't interested in insignificant things. Mesaprim, they tell over that one day Yehudim nitkoyim v'retzusim eizariva. The Jews, he lived in a village. So Jews came and they brought a young girl and she was cackling like a hen. She was cackling like a hen, like a chicken, and making all kind of strange noise. And they were panic-stricken. And they said, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. And they started to cry in front of the Chofetz Chaim. They said, Atzileinu, it's a divuk. They said, save us, it's a divuk. In other words, the devil has gotten into her. Save us. And they were panicky. What did Chofetz Chaim answer? First he calmed them down, and he talked quietly to them, and then he said, Ein zed dibuk, it's not a dibuk. Zuhi min machlo. He says, it's a type of sickness. Penu lochem al arefe. Go to the doctor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him the shliach to be merapeh her, to cure her. And he says, this was his approach to everything. This was the simple Litvish approach. Now, just recently, it was a year or two ago, a sefer came out in Eretz Yisrael. It's a sefer which is called Tomim Tiyah. It's written by a very, very outstanding Talmud Chochem by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Meishe Hillel. I believe he's a Sfadi. Why did he write the Sefer? He writes as follows. He says he writes the entire Sefer based on one question. Shayla, what's the question? He said, recently there's been a multitude of various strange things going on. Many people, and some with the name of Rabbonim and Chachomim, who have gone through various misfortunes, either because of sickness or lack of parnosa or lack of children and so forth. And they have been going to certain people, and these other people claim, these other people cloak, also garment themselves with the names of Chachomim or Rabbonim, and they claim through various ways that they've done it before, and they know what's taken place in the past, and they know what's going to take place in the future, and they have powers of blessing, and if they'll do what they will tell them to do, they'll listen to their counsel, they will fix up all of their problems. And they use lots, they read palms of hands, they read the palms, they read the wrinkles on a face, they look into mazolos, astrology, the various mazolos of the day or of the hour, the Vedic Bishemes, they ask for their names and the names of their parents, and they make all kind of matching with these names to find out, and they can come up with all type of things from there. They look at the stars, they write charms, and so forth and so forth. They read psukim from the Torah, they make certain powers in the universe take oaths, so forth and so on. Imuter al piatera lead, and these people have claimed that they've had success. And many of them have witnesses that testify to their successes. That this person came who had no children, and they went through these practices, and they children were born. And this person was sick, and doctors couldn't cure him, and he cured him. And this person never had panosa, now he's got panosa. This person couldn't learn, and now he's able to learn. And many of them have witnesses that testify to them, that they're telling the truth. Is a Jew allowed to go to such people and involve himself in such practices or not? And he writes the entire Sefer on this, and he calls it Tomim Tiyah, based on the pasuk that we read, Tomim Tiyah Meshem Elokecha, that you should walk with Hashem. And he goes through a whole Sefer with a lot of wisdom, where he brings tremendous background on this whole subject, and where he shows the Chemer Isser, the severity of the prohibition for any Jew to engage in these things. We don't have time to quote from the Sefer, but I would like to quote from one or two letters that he has written by Gedalim, by Rosh Yeshivas, that he asked to write letters on the Sefer. Now, incidentally, he brought, I saw just yesterday, where he brings from, I don't remember if it's exactly, but it appear, if I, my memory serves me correct, he brings from one of the, from several hundred years ago, from one of the great Gaonim who was a Mekubal. See, many of these things get mixed up with Kabbalah. And also the Litvisher with Hells and others, they stayed away from it. If you would ask any of their Rosh Yeshivas anything that has to do with Seder, Kabbalah, they would say, Ainli Esikim Anistoris, we don't have anything to do with Nistoris. In our generation, where we're so poor and nigla in the revealed wisdom, we're not going to start getting involved in the concealed wisdom of the Torah. That comes after one is boki, after one is expert in all of the revealed wisdom of the Torah. But there was he has from a person who lived several hundred years ago, who was a great Mekubal. And people came to him and they told him about a certain man. And they said, that man is making wonders. And he didn't believe it. He said it's a fraud. But they came back and they said, we have witnesses on it. He's making wonders. And finally he had no other alternative except maybe to believe it. So he said, go and watch him and come back and tell me about how he acts. So they came, they went and they came back and they said, look, he acts like any other person. He says, is he tremendously learned? Is he tremendously righteous? And so forth and so on. No. Look, he's a good Jew, but like any other person. So he told them, then it's worse. He says, then it's dangerous. Stay away from him. Why? He says, first I thought it was a fraud, but when you kept bringing me witnesses, this was something several hundred years ago, you kept bringing me witnesses, so it seems the man has powers. If he was outstanding in Torah and outstanding in wisdom and outstanding in righteousness, so then perhaps he's from the Vi Hashem, he's from the prophets of Hashem, and of course Bohu gave him powers. But if he's not a muflet, if he's not an outstanding chochem shebedor, then you should know those powers come from Keach HaTumah. Then it's the devil. And it's a sakona gemura, it's a danger. Stay away. See, this is what he told me. At any rate, I would like to read just a few short lines. There are two letters from Rav Shach. Rav Shach Shlita, who is the Ponovitch Rosh Hashiva, and who is the senior Rosh Hashiva in the world today. Rav Shach writes, I received your sefer, and on what you ask, and about all of this that's going on today, Lehevi Yudea, he says, you must know, Shekol Eluheim Ramoim V'Ame Oretz, all of these people that claim that they can cure and they can do this and that and so forth and so on, they're crooks and they're ignoramuses. Ubishvil Betzak, incidentally, there have been those that come to Johannesburg also. Ubishvil Betzav Kesav Osin Kain, and they do it only for financial gain. The Nasnim Kemiais Ve'etze Sheines, and they give charms and they give out various counsel. Ve'oser Lismech Alehem, a Jew is forbidden to rely on anything they say. Ve'ein Lem Shum Yediyah Ve'elo Inyonim, and these people don't have any knowledge whatsoever in these things. Ve'oi Lonu, now he says what? He says, Oi Lonu, he says, the great misfortune. There's two misfortunes. First of all, the misfortune is that you have such frauds. But there's a greater misfortune, that in our generation we have to have questions like this. Oy lonu shekach olsa yerid bizmanenu, that we have sunk so low, shekol amunat feila, that every insignificant belief and every insignificant cult that floats around the world, tefeses mokum etzel anoshim, grabs a hold of our Jews. Like I said, in the last generation you would never had a question on this. He says, I long knew the misfortune of our generation, that when kosher Jews, not talking about Jews that are lost, but kosher Jews are attracted to frauds and cults, we're supposed to be the ones that represent the emun of Hashem. The ein lono rak lishma l'kayim as ha-mitzvah Hashem. We have to be shamer mitzvah Hashem. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chofetz Chaim, used to always say. That when you get upstairs, the first two questions are, did you set aside time for Torah? And did you deal honestly in business? And he said, if you can answer yes to those two questions, you don't need anything else. If you answer no to those two questions, nothing else will help you. That's what the Chofetz Chaim used to say. He used to say that also about a chosid and misnagid. The Chofetz Chaim was respected by all, by misnagdim and chasidim. So one time someone told him that how fortunate he is, his secretary, he had a bocher who was writing for him, and he told him that he comes from a great Hasidic yichus. So he told him, when you get upstairs, these are the most important questions they asked you. He says, if you answer yes, makes no difference if you're chosid misnagid. If you answer no, it makes no difference if you're chosid misnagid. See, that's what he said. Yeah. So he says, we have to be shamer HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs and tomim tiyam Hashem alakecho. Now there's a second letter. There's a letter that a yeshiva bocher, it seems in Ponovitch, wrote to Rav Shach. And he writes like this. He says that he has started a while back to take up the study of palm reading. And he has taken it up seriously. And now I have studied my own palms, and I see that it's predicting for me a great misfortune when it comes to my marriage. And he says, this is not the power of my imagination, because I have checked this with authoritative books and authoritative people who are expert in this. And I'm very worried about this, because I am reaching the age where I should be getting married soon. And I become very depressed over this. What should I do? He wrote this to Rav Shach. Rav Shach writes him back, he says, I tell you with a clarity, that it is totally forbidden in accordance to the Torah to have anything to do with this or anything like it. And you are not allowed to rely on it. And this is explicit in the Torah. Tomim tiyam Hashem alakecha. And then he says, look at the Rabban and so forth and so on. And he says, we have to go with Hashem and not look at anything else. V'zul l'zeh kol hevel. And outside of Emunah b'Hashem, everything is nonsense. And that you saw in your palms, that you are heading towards a tragedy, he says, mipnei shem derech odem reitzer leilech melichin esoi. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets a person walk in the way he wants to walk. But someone who will not look at the study of his palms, then Hashem hu miftoche. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be his trust. And you won't have to worry about anything that you have seen. And now one final letter. The author... wrote to Reb Chaim Kenevsky. Reb Chaim Kenevsky is the son of the late Stipler Gaon. Stipler Gaon was one of the great Gaonim and Tzaddikim of the generation who died just a few years ago. Now he writes to him and he says, I would like you to clarify for me the attitude of your late father in regards to these people, which there are many today, that they go to these individuals who claim they can tell the future, they can give charms, they can inspect people's names, they can read their mezuzahs. It's another thing. You got these people that say, let me look at your mezuzah and I'll read your mezuzah and I'll tell you why this is not happening and why this is happening. I would like you to clarify the attitude of your late father towards this. Now he said, why am I asking? He says, Bididi hava uvda. He says, I was involved in a case with your late father, which I saw that your late father was very much against this. More than very much against it. But recently, people are saying, in the name of your father, the Stipler, that he changed his mind. Today, unfortunately, you got frauds and everything. You got people that say things, the many Gedalim that said things while they're alive, and after their death, other people come and they say just the opposite. Now, how was he involved? The author of the Sefer, how was he involved? So he writes here how he was involved with this. He said there was a chosen who had established the day of his marriage. Just before he was getting married, so a relative told them that he says, look, before you get married, it would be good to check your name and the caller's name. What do you mean? So he told them that Alpi Kabbalah, in accordance to the wisdom of the concealed wisdoms, if they look into the letters of your name and the letters of your caller's name and the letters of your father's name, her name, they can tell, it will be able to be told if it's compatible or not. And this chosen didn't know any difference. So they told him to go to one of the well-known mikubalim, one of the well-known people who claimed that he was a mikubal, he claimed he knew the secret sciences of the Torah in Yerushalayim, who had a very, very great name, and let him see if you're compatible. So he went. And this person looked at his name and the other name and so forth and so on, and he told him that the shidduch is destined for tragedy. It won't work. You must break the shidduch immediately. And it was just a few days before the chasna. And this was someone who had a reputation, like all these guys have reputations, otherwise they wouldn't get off the ground. So the chosen almost went out of his mind. Here he was, Yom Simchosai, and all of a sudden he almost went out of his mind. And from a simcha was coming a churban, and he didn't know what to do. So the author writes, he came to me and asked me an etzah. So I told him immediately, he says, that Tomim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, there's no such mitzvah. These are not from the 613 mitzvahs to look at names. Put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ein lon ayetz kabbalah, he said, ein lon ayetzik min istoros. We don't have anything to do with the istoros. But he could not calm him down. He was too afraid. He says, what can I do? He was sitting, he was shaking. So then he said, all right. Meanwhile, this so-called Makubal had written him a whole letter on this. So he said, let's take this letter, and we'll go to the greatest, from the greatest Gaonim in Yerushalayim, we'll go to the Stipler Rav. Oh, he says, if the Stipler Rav will tell me to get married, I'll go right away. So they went to the Stipler Rav. They went into his house, and they sat down to him in the study, and they showed him this letter. When he started to read the letter, and he read the first few lines, he says, the stipler jumped up and started yelling. He says, Sheikari Merev Kasoy. I never saw him. He became so angry, he started to roar like a lion. And he said, Umareitze Shalei Yishatnu. He says, what does that man want? That you two shouldn't get married? See? And he became so excited as he read further that the people that take care of him in the house came in and they said, look, you're exciting the stipler. He's an old man, you're making him too excited. You go wait outside until he finishes reading the letter. So they went out and he finished reading the letter and they could still hear his anger with every line that he read. When he finished, he called them in and the stipler took the chosen and he gave him a brocha. And he says, I promise you that the zivug will be eile yotha, that it will be a good zivug. Yeah. And he says, don't worry about anything. And he gave him a brocha from Mazel Tov, and he says, dvorim eile shtuyis vahavelim. This letter is nonsense, is emptiness, v'leime Hashem huzeh. It's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you don't go to people to ask these things. This is dependent in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one who makes zivugim. And we have no one else to lean on except Avinu Shebishamayim, our Father in Heaven. V'tomim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. And put your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got married, and they're happy. That was the case. But now this author is saying that they're talking, this was written about a year and a half ago, 2 years, that they're talking now, that now the stipler changed his mind and so forth and so on. So therefore he wrote to the son of the stipler, would you kindly tell me what your father's attitude was? He writes back, Yodu'li das ovi adoni marena ravzal shihirchik me'od kol advori ma'ila. He says, I know clearly that my father didn't want to have anything to do with such nonsense. And many, many times he would caution us, don't get involved at all, because besides the fact that it's nonsense, it involves many prohibitions. This gives us an insight into this parsha and into the relevance of it today. We have to put our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to do what He commands us. He commands us to study Torah. He commands us in 613 mitzvahs. If it's of the 613 mitzvahs, we have to do it in order to fulfill His rotzeit. And He will take care of the rest. If it's not of the 613 mitzvahs, then it has nothing to do with us, and not only it has nothing to do with us, it's a to'eva, it's an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's becomes in very closely related to kfirah, to denial, and to aveda zora. This is what we learn from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.